Good to be back with you in Maherfelt to have the privilege of bringing the Word of God. Our prayer is that the Lord will come by, minister to us Himself, take that Word and apply it to our hearts. Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin reading at the verse 18, and the Savior speaking. The context belongs to what we call the parable of the sower. Here's the interpretation coming up in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself. Just take those words, in himself, and you will think of them. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. It's a serious thing to be offended. Now, we can think of different things when that word comes up. You can have a sensitive heart, and lots of us have a sensitive nature, and maybe it's got to be said, you take offense easily. I used to think in earlier years in the ministry, there were some of the Lord's people, if you looked at them, they might be offended. And if you didn't look at them, they would be offended. However, this is a more serious aspect that the Lord has in mind. And what he's talking about now in this verse 21 is someone coming across a stumbling block that keeps them out of heaven. That's a more serious form of offense. Being offended at the word of God. Being offended at God's dealings with you in your own life. This is a more serious aspect to the whole idea of being offended. It's the existence of a stumbling stone that hinders a soul from progressing on with God, or indeed even missing the mark, missing the way to heaven. So that kind of offense is far more a cause for concern than the other type of offense, no matter how seriously we look at it. Then verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. I want you to look at those words too, this world. The care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. These are the words of the Lord. Let's keep our Bibles open, and I would like you to put a marker in the place there for easy reference, so that if on account we look at another portion of God's Word, we'll be able to get back to Matthew 13 with no difficulty. It's good to be here to meet with you. Many friends in the congregation whom we know personally, and others whom we are yet to come to know. But it's good to be here to have the Word of God this time. Let's unite in prayer. Lord, we do thank Thee for the harvest season. We have been singing of Thy bountiful love and favor. We have thought of all the mercies of God to us personally and them to a congregation. We can think about our families and notice the hand of God there. Oh, we can say, Lord, with bountiful provision, Thou hast ministered to our every need. We thank Thee for Thy love and loving care, for Thy presence with us unfailingly, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Lord, how many mercies today, besides the bounty of the harvest, have we cause to thank Thee for? Fill our hearts with Thy joy and Thy praise. Grant a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Minister to us all, Lord. Grant that not one soul in this congregation will be left out. Lord, speak on. Bless Thy servant, the minister of this congregation. Be with him these days. Minister to him physically and spiritually. And grant to those who have charge over his case a wisdom from Thee, and give them guidance in all their deliberations. May they have the mind of God concerning Thy servant. O Lord, healing grace comes from Thee. May he have the touch of God just now. And we pray that spiritually also he and his wife and family will have the presence of the Lord in a manifest way. Remember those who mourn. We pray that Thou wilt heal the broken heart, comfort the afflicted, minister to each. By Thy word, by Thy Holy Spirit, Himself the Comforter, Lord, draw near to each and grant that through the word of God there will be strength to go on, strength for weakness, and comfort for sorrow, and even the joy of the Lord, knowing the triumph of the gospel. Hear prayer just now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to give attention to the words in verses 18 and 19. You will see, if you reflect upon those verses, there are two types of hearing that the Lord has in mind. In verse 18, the hearing is a hearing with the heart. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. There is such a thing, men and women, as hearing with the heart. And that's a hearing which brings obedience to God. That's a hearing with the understanding, a hearing that holds fast to the word and will not let it go. Then the word hearing comes up in verse 19. So I'm saying here, there are two different types of hearing the Lord's talking about. For in verse 19, the hearing is totally different from that which is mentioned in verse 18. Anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. So here is a hearing which makes no change to the life. A hearing, sadly, which goes in one ear and out the other. It's just a superficial hearing. That's why the devil can score a victory. He comes in so effectively, catching away the word. So the person is left as before. No change. The Word of God does not abide there. It does not take root and bring forth fruit. This is a most serious thing. And all of us have got to consider now into which bracket we come. Whether our hearing is the hearing the Lord has in mind in verse 18, the hearing with the heart, hearing with the understanding, hearing in such a fashion as to hold on to the Word, never to let it go. This parable of the sower occurs three times in the Gospels. You find it in Matthew, of course, and then in Mark, and also in Luke. It is clear from that aspect alone that the Lord Himself has a purpose in bringing your attention to the parable of the sower. He has put it into the first three books of the New Testament. And even here in Matthew 13, where we have a whole series of parables, this is the parable that comes first. You must give attention to that. No accident, no coincidence. Out of a series of parables, in Matthew 13, the Lord has so ordered that arrangement as to take this parable, the parable of the sower, and give it first place. Isn't that reason enough alone for us to say, well, the Lord certainly intends for us to study this parable very carefully, to learn its lessons, and not go astray with this point. And then you'll see that Matthew chapter 13 opens up a discussion on the parable of the sower, which occupies all of 23 verses. And that in itself shows how significant the parable of the sower really is. Now, we have Sunday school teachers here and children's workers, as well as others engaged in God's work. And you will know all long since that there are four types of ground, four types of territory where the seed falls, the wayside, the stony ground, the thorns, and then the good ground. You will also realize that in the first three instances here, the precious seed is lost. So the seed that drops by the wayside is lost, never got a chance to grow. What does the Lord say? The fowls of the air sweep by and they have it snapped up, so there's no harvest there. The seed by the wayside. And then there is the seed scattered over the stony ground. That seed did not and could not take root. Such is the nature of the ground, you see. The stones and the rocks would not allow the seed to grow. And then there is the seed which fell among the thorns. The thorns spring up and choke the seed. It's interesting to consider that you never read of the wheat choking the thorns, do you? Never. God's hand is in creation. These lessons abound. The world hasn't come into existence by accident. And that means because God Himself is the Creator. The laws of nature, the things that go on every day in the harvest field, for example, all conform to Scripture because the Creator of the earth, the one who has organized the seasons, arranged all the circumstances of life, is the one who has given us His Word. There's perfect conformity. The wheat will never choke the thorns. It's the other way around. It's the thorns that choke the wheat. And then I take you a little further. When the Lord interprets these aspects of the parable, He shows us that the fowls of the air represent the devil. So if men are lost, the first reason, given the way the parable is arranged, the first reason why any man is lost is because of the activity of the devil, pictured by the fowls of the air coming in to snap up the seed which falls by the wayside. That's the devil's operation. Then in the second instance, the stony ground, men are lost because of the nature of the ground. And I did ask when we were reading verse 21, and can you refer to it again? Yet hath he not root in himself. So our Lord gives us the clue and shows us now this time our attention's not so much on what the devil is about, but upon the nature of the man himself. Aye, that's the word, himself. It's the nature of the man himself, which is against the development of the seed. The nature of the ground, the hard, stony ground, is not ideal for the planting of the seed. That's why, in this instance, the seed does not bring forth a harvest. It's the sinful nature of man, that old corrupt heart that he has, which will not receive God's holy and precious word. Some of you who are out of Christ today must understand this. By the devil's influence, snatching away the word, you're still unconverted. And because of that old sinful nature, that hardness of heart that's there, you're not saved. You've heard the word, oh, ever so many times, and that word is bound to have touched your heart. But there's a hardness there. That's the stony ground. The Lord have mercy upon you on that account. A man's not saved then because of himself, his old sinful nature, that hardness. And then you'll see the third instance, the seed that falls among the thorns. And the Lord uses in verse 22 the words, the care of this world. And we're looking now at the influence of the world. The cares of the world, the riches of the world, the pleasures of the world, the snares that are found in this world. These are the things that spell ruin to the soul. The influence of the world is such that it takes your mind off the things of God, takes you away from God, and even destroys your life. The cares of this world, the pleasures of the world, the snares that are in the world, these are the things in reference now. When you put the three together, you've got the complete picture. Why any soul is lost, and why men and women now in this congregation, some of them, are unconverted. The power of the devil snatching away the seed. The power of sin within, the hardness of heart, the power of the world around us, the influence that's in society, the snares of this life, take up the whole attention of the sinner so that he does not hear and hear with that proper response of heart that the Lord is talking about. This just makes everything so vividly clear. And I pray that God's people will give attention now to what the Lord's talking about. That those who are unconverted will think carefully as to the message of the Lord here. The devil comes in. Notice how he's described in this verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Hearing without deep thought. Hearing it without careful attachment. Then the devil comes. He's called the wicked one. What a description of the devil, of his character and his work. The devil using every opportunity to snatch away the word. That's the devil's domain. That's his business. He's at work in the congregation to whatever extent he can manage. He certainly is at work in society. He will work in your family. He'll work in your own heart. Always, but always, with this design to snatch away the word out of the heart. We do well in the Sunday school or in the children's meeting to have the memory verse and to say to the child, and I would want Daddy and Mommy to memorize the verse along with the child. Think about that. One of the great advantages in having the young commit to memory the things of God is the word will stay there. We trust by God's gracious care through all the days of their lifetime here. Let us beware of the intention of the devil to snatch away the word. And if he can't take the word away from your memory, and oftentimes he can, if he can't take the word away from your memory altogether, then his intention is to reduce its influence. So the word doesn't have any effect, doesn't carry over. When you hear the message, the service ends, the last amen is heard, it's just possible your attention is totally diverted to something else. It may be something else legitimate enough in itself. Nevertheless, in terms of priority, you let something else creep in and take that first place the Word of God ought to have. Oh, beware of this. He's called the Wicked One. Our Lord brands him with this name because it's his character. It is what he seeks to do. There's his work. Bishop Latimer called the devil a busy bishop in his diocese. What did he mean by that? Well, the word bishop means one who watches over. So a bishop, if he was a godly man, devout and called of God to that office, he would have the responsibility of watching over the whole diocese. And if he had capability, he would be able to watch over households and families and keep them safe. When Bishop Latimer spoke of the devil in that way and said he's a busy bishop in his diocese, he meant that the devil's watching over his domain all the time to keep the families under his care and jurisdiction, to prevent the Word of God getting in there, getting into the child's heart, into the father's heart, into the mother's heart, into the family's life, into society itself. He will even try to wreak havoc inside the church if on any account he can diminish the power of the Word of God. Oh, make no mistake about this, child of God. The devil hates the book. The devil opposes the word. Why does the devil catch away the seed, I ask? Because the devil knows the power of the Word of God. He knows the good that is in the Bible. He hates the book. He will work with all his powers against the word. He will try to break down faith in the book. I'll do his utmost to break down faith in the book. Teaching evolution, bringing in something else to cloud the thoughts and fill the mind. The devil tries to break down faith in the word, but he believes the word himself. The devil's belief, God says, and they tremble. He will steal away the word out of your heart. Child of God, he will even seek to do it with you. He can't succeed entirely. Praise the Lord. But if he can reduce the influence of God's holy word in your life, in your mind, then he has scored a victory. And as for the unconverted, we have some of you sitting here today. You have listened many an occasion to the message preached, and surely the Lord must have touched your heart. Well, here you are today. Must be 20 years since. If we go back to that night, you remember, in the mission? In the mission, was it? Or was it at the sick bed God came by and gave you reason to think very seriously about your soul? I say 20 years have rolled by since that time, and you're still unconverted. Just looking at the first instance here in the parable, the work of the devil, the wicked one, it must be said to you, and surely you'll have to take it in, that the devil has been working hard to snatch away the word, the precious word, the word of salvation out of your soul. Beware of this. That's the thing. The devil knows about the hereafter. He knows about heaven, about the city four square with its gates of pearl and its streets of gold. The devil knows all about heaven with the myriad choirs of the angels and the white robe throng of God's redeemed who are gathered now, even now, around about the throne. No one under heaven knows better than the devil that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But he will not have it to be so with you. And the devil knows about hell. Oh yes, he knows about hell. He will do everything in his power to stop men and women, to stop people like you from giving attention to what the Bible says about hell. He will, even if he can't, stop people believing in it. And there are people in Maherfelt, I have no doubt, who are saying, there is no hell. There's nothing here after this life. The devil knows full well there is a hell. And he will try to prevent men from giving attention to what God's holy word has to say by way of warning. He will not have you think about it, but he thinks about it himself. And he knows far better than you know that there is a hell at the end of an ungodly life. And the devil knows too that the word of God, so precious in itself, is an extraordinary vehicle for God's truth. The book that brings God near, and the book that brings you near to God. And that's why the devil uses all his subtlety, all his influence, all his power to take your mind away from the word of God. So you'll not think. You'll not think about your soul. You'll not think about eternity. You'll not think about the cross. You'll not think about the necessity of the new birth. That's how the devil works. The Lord, in the parable of the sower, the parable that maybe you would have said before this service began, that's the parable I know back to front. But men and women, do we know it? Has the lesson really been borne home to us? Has it sunk in? I speak even to Christians, those who have been saved for years. And I can remember those years ago when we were all young, or very much younger. Aye, has the devil all this while, in some fashion, in watering down the word, stealing it away? That's a tragedy. You must get back to the book, child of God. You'll have to start memorizing God's word, doing more than you have done. Last year, our presbytery, wasn't it last year, there came out that watchword. It was so appropriate. Let's do something more for God. That was last year. Do you know, this year, we have to take the same words on board, I would suggest. And every year God gives you, let's do something more for God. Well, how about that then? Here's the book. How about it? Let's do something more for God in the way of learning God's Word, taking the Word to heart, memorizing it, using it, asking God to bless it in the family. How about saying, Lord, come by and make thy Word a vehicle, an instrument, teaching me lessons I'll never forget. Realizing that it is the design of the devil, the Lord's spoken about him here, snatch away the Word. I have friends who believe that the devil is already bound up with chains and cast into the bottomless pit. Now, there's one thing for sure. The devil can't be in two places at once. And if he's locked up, wrapped about with chains, and cast into the bottomless pit, he can't be on the earth, can he? Unless you're going to try and tell me the devil can be in two places at the one time, I tell you this, he cannot. And he can't be in the bottomless pit and at the same time be here, working here on this earth. Now I tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, no less, tells us this parable, which belongs to this present hour. What we're taught in the parable belongs to this age, to the time that is now. And what does the Lord say? He's showing us the activity of the devil. Where? On the earth. In what way? Militating against the Word of God, stealing away the Word out of men's hearts. He's not in the bottomless pit. He's highly active. He's working presently. He's here on the earth. He's here with one purpose above all, to snatch away the Word out of the heart and to keep the Word of God from having influence in the life and changing the life and showing that, yes, a man can be converted here in this life and can start out for heaven. But I must hurry on. The Lord also talked about this parable in Mark chapter 4. And what I'm going to do is, I'm not looking at the parable in general. I'm just taking this one aspect. The first one. What happened there when the seed fell by the wayside? That's all we're looking at today. And I've looked at Matthew, and I've thought about the application there. Do you know that in the Gospel of Mark, there's another aspect concerning this that we ought to give attention to? Mark 4 and verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, this is not hearing in the right way, not hearing with the heart, not hearing with the understanding, not hearing in such a way as to render obedience to God and get right with God. Yes, Satan cometh. I thought he wasn't in the world. I thought he was down in the bottomless pit. I thought he was all wrapped up with chains. That's nonsense. What does our Lord Jesus Christ say? It's Satan, not a demon. It's Satan. Satan cometh immediately. He loses no time. Now, this is not a criticism. Please bear with me in this. This is not a criticism. I'm glad to have the Lord's people. I love God's people. And the Lord loves them too. Never leave them. But sometimes we don't intend to, but we sleep in the job. And we're even not alert when we think we are. And we're missing this and missing that when we should be more alive to it. But the devil never sleeps in the job. It says here, mark it carefully. Satan cometh immediately. He gives the matter instant attention. If there's a troubled soul in this house, there's a need to press into the kingdom right away. Grab a hold of God's word right away. Because if you don't, if you dilly-dally, you're in dangerous ground, treacherous ground, slippery ground. The devil cometh immediately. What to do? To snatch away the word. He doesn't lose any time. He doesn't say, well, I need to get my lunch first. No. I remember years ago seeing a little snatch of the news. It was the film, must have been the summertime, beautiful weather, sunshine, people at the seaside. Here was a seaside picture. Father, mother, the camera really zoned in. Although it had to be a coincidence or a kind of accident that the camera focused on this little child, daddy and mummy. And they got the child hardly more than a toddler. This ice cream, the natural thing, the sun's shining, lovely. And the child had the ice cream in its hand, really enjoying it. You could see that. There was a dab of ice cream on the nose, and there was some smeared on the chin, and I think there was even a drop on the lapel. And tucking into the ice cream, really a beautiful picture. Then all of a sudden, as if from nowhere, this seagull came flying in at a low level, just equal to the height of the child, flying in with tremendous speed. And banked round as it came close to the child and grabbed the cone and away with the whole thing in a split second. And father and mother never saw the bird till the work was done. And the child, 1 minute had the cone, enjoying it to the full, and the next minute, nothing there, gone. And I thought to myself, that's just it. That's the picture. That is the thing. Satan cometh immediately. Father and mother could have beaten off the bird and would have done if they had seen it, if they had expected it. It was as if they were caught sleeping in. The bird came with such speed and power. Accuracy, too. I was astonished. And even today, as I think about it, that image has never left my mind. With such speed and power, take that away. And it could be the word which will save your soul. Now, would you let me, time's just the enemy to us all, isn't it? But let me look at the gospel of Luke chapter 8, and I'll not be long with this. But the message wouldn't be complete, because there's another reason given why the devil snatches away the word in Luke chapter 8. There's another reason. One is, in Matthew, we were thinking, the devil hates the word and he knows the power of the word of God and he means to diminish the influence of that word. Then in Mark, we saw when the Lord mentioned the word being stolen away, that the devil would come immediately and lose no time. He doesn't sleep in the job. Then in Luke, it's a different thing. Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. Oh, he's here. He'll come. And what does he mean to do? To take away the word out of their hearts. Lest, do you have it? Those of you who are unconverted, please look at this. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Why the devil must work with such speed? Why he'll steal away the word? Lest they should believe and be saved. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. The devil knows the power of the word of God. He will try to break down faith in the word of God, but he believes it himself, and he works immediately to seal away the word. Why? Lest you should believe and be saved. The devil does not intend. There's a lady here in this congregation. I have to speak to you. There's a man, could it be up there in the gallery? I have to speak to you. Is there a young person? The devil does not intend for you ever to get to heaven. You can sit in Calvary Free Church Sunday after Sunday. You can listen to the missions too. But the devil doesn't intend for you to be saved and for you to get to heaven, lest you should believe and be saved. That's why God's people are praying, Lord, bless the word. Talk to that woman. Speak to that man. Come by, Lord, and touch the heart of that child. That today, that even this very day, they might be saved. That they might be saved. That's what the Lord purposes through the word. That you'll hear and hear with the understanding and hear in such a way as to hold on to the word and never, never let it go. And by that word, praise God, you overcome the devil. We haven't time now, but it's 1 John 2 and 14. You can look at it when you get home. The Lord is saying there, little children, you've overcome, you're strong because the word of God abides in you and you've overcome the wicked one. That's the secret. The word of God abiding in you. Thy word have I hid in my heart, the psalmist says, that I might not sin against thee. He has the word in the heart. And the devil can't get at it and can't steal it away. Aren't you glad you're saved? And that's bond prayer. Well, I know how the devil will use your own sinful nature to rebel against the word or to harden your heart against the word. And I know how the devil can use the world as well, so that, like the thorns choking the wheat, the cares of this world, the interests of the world, will just snuff out the word of God in your soul. Lord, speak today in this house. Defeat the devil. Defeat the power of the world. Defeat the power of sin. That old hardened nature that's there, which will send a man or a woman or a child even into the place of ruin. And some of you, God forbid, you'll end up in hell if you don't come to Christ, get right with God. Would you like to talk to Brother Philip? Would you like to speak to me, to an elder, to a Christian friend? We mean business. The Lord sent us here. And I tell you, the devil steals away the word lest you should believe and be saved. Do you see that? Have you got a hold of that? That's the Lord who says it. Not me. It's the Lord who says it. Don't go away without Christ. Don't go away without the Savior. I don't know if Brother Philip has a hymn or whether he wishes to come and close in prayer. Maybe I'll just close myself. This is the day God's working, God's speaking. That's the right time. That's the time to come. Lord, we do thank thee for today, for thy word. Use the word. Speak on, Lord. Show that man, that woman, they have a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. Lord, we pray that the world will fade out in importance. That the word of God will come home to the heart with such conviction and such power and such reality that some soul sitting in this congregation will gasp and say, I never thought of that, and I never thought of that verse that way. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak on and bring the wandering one to Jesus. Lord, may we hear with joy that there has been this one and that one starting out for heaven today. Oh, God, make it a harvest in the best sense. Leave us not at such a time and bring that soul right through into the kingdom of Christ. Part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.